Sports, real news, and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Special Report. Breaking news from New York City, where Mayor Adams has just told CBS News the gunman who killed four people at a Park Avenue office building was targeting the National Football League.
From our preliminary investigation, he took the wrong elevator bank up to the NFL headquarters. Instead, it took him to Rudin Management.
The NFL says a league employee was injured among the four who died, a city police officer. Officials say the suspect, Chain Tamura, shot and killed himself. The mayor says investigators found a rambling note on his body.
The note alluded to that he felt he had CTE, a known brain injury for those who participate in contact sports. He appeared to have blamed the NFL for his injury.
The AP says Tamura indicated he wanted his brain studied after he died. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an emergency meeting to talk about rising violence in the downtown entertainment district. There were two shootings on Water Street over the past weekend. Common Council President Jose Perez and Alderman Bob Ballman want the police department to find solutions, as bar owners say the violence is driving customers away. Police are still searching for the suspects in the two Water Street shootings. A 24-year-old has been arrested in a deadly shooting from 2 weeks ago. The pilot in a Watertown crash 2 years ago was disoriented. The NTSB's final report on the 2023 Watertown plane crash blames the accident on pilot error caused by spatial disorientation and the influence of gabapentin, codeine, and Delta-8 THC. 73-year-old Dr. William Buchholz and his 8-year-old grandson Colin died when their plane went down near a park in foggy conditions. The plane went down just miles from the airport. The last of the departing flights are heading out. Lisa Hale has more about EAA ending.
EAA Air Venture 2025 came to a close Sunday. Campsites have been cleared, and the grounds that sported 15,000 campers and hundreds of aircraft over the past 10 days are now empty. It was another record-breaking year for the annual Aviation Fly-In Convention. Officials announced that 691,000 visitors from 80 different countries were part of the event. That's about 5,000 more than last year's record-breaking attendance. Of the 15,000 people camping on the grounds, 3,000 of them were aircraft campers. EAA Air Venture returns to Oshkosh July 20th through the 26th, 2026.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for today, still warm and muggy with highs in the mid-80s and a slight storm chance. Maybe a storm tonight, mostly cloudy, lows mid-60s. Still some rain possible into tomorrow, high mid-70s. Right now it's 73.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One happy camper this morning at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 29th, might have something to do with the Brewers beating up on the Cubs. Did not look like it during the first inning last night. Jacob Mizorowski had a terrible start. 8 batters, 40 pitches, 3 runs with hardly anything getting out of the infield. And then he settled down and the Brewers bats came to life. Brewers win 8-4. Game 2 is tonight. Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon. But for now, your first place Milwaukee Brewers are atop alone the Central Division. And again, Game 2 tonight, coverage begins at 6:05 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Chad Holmes will be joining us in a sec from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. One thing I noticed, Brittany, looking at the TV coverage of the game last night and from my being at American Family Field on Friday when it was another hot and steamy day, is, you know, the roof is only partially open, which is to kind of not have the sun completely baked down. But if you closed it all the way, then you'd be in a roasting pan. And there's just, you know, this time of year, there's no way to avoid the heat. Just go get some ice cream or a cold frosty beverage or whatever, because we're in the dog days of summer. At least
we sure are.
At least for one more day.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that they beat the Chicago Cubs. I'm from Chicago. I hate them with a passion. So I'm just so excited to hear that news. And then also maybe some ice. Cup of ice.
Cup
I was
ice.
Doing that at Oshkosh, putting ice on the back of my neck, putting it, you know, on my arm, my leg, wherever, just to help cool me down. Mm-hmm. So while you're in line for a brew, grab a cup of ice too.
Hey, there you go. All right.
Yeah.
Look at that. You get a great forecast and tips, spectator tips from Brittany, who's going to tell us where the forecast is today as the rain moves out of the southeastern part of the state right now.
Sure does. Kick that on out of here. Let the sun shine, more and more sunshine throughout the day today. Comfortable temperatures further up north, not so comfortable further down south. We are still battling dew points, muggy conditions, high heat here today. Temperatures rising to about the low to mid 80s far north to low to mid 90s far south. Plus you slap the humidity on top of that. Going to be feeling like the mid to upper 90s for a lot of us in the southern part of the state today. So sunshine becoming abundant. A few spotty sprinkles or small brief showers are possible this afternoon. I think they're going to stay more towards the Green Bay area, but pretty much by the lake is your best chances for those to pop up later on this afternoon, early evening. No big deal with that. But tomorrow, we've got another low-pressure system moving through. It is going to bring some more widespread, steadier rainfall, probably overnight far west, early tomorrow morning for the southern parts of the state. And that'll continue for the southern half tomorrow throughout the day. Overcast. All of us, but much, much more cooler, refreshing, highs in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow, and that stays the case for the rest of the week as a high pressure starts to build in. It kicks the clouds on out of here, and we've got nothing but a beautiful summer day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even into Sunday. It's going to be amazing.
The top is coming off the Jeep Wrangler, yes, and it is going to be just a gorgeous couple of days of running those errands. Brittany, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right.
Have a good day.
You have a great day as well. Let's check in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. See what he's following up in that area, because you're still in your, as we learned from Jimmy Cuska yesterday, this is, I don't think this is an official title, but this is like the dead week in high school sports where there's not practices and things like that. So the kids get a break. The coaches get a break. There's a lot of vacations going on. It would seem to me we should be sending you away to like another poker tournament someplace, but you got that out of your system, right?
Yeah, no, it is the down week. It's actually a perfect week here in the Wausau area because everybody's heading off to the Wisconsin Valley Fair starting today. So it's like fair week, and then next week football practice begins, and you can start to make the real countdown to the kickoff, which is not too far away.
No, not a bit. And again, with the heat finally moving on, Joe and Superior on the text line listening on WBZH and Hayward says comfortably cooler here by Lake Superior this morning. And that is very welcome because, again, this time of year, they don't have the two-a-day football practices anymore, right?
I've heard some that have a morning practice and then an evening practice. It's not split it up, maybe have a couple of shorter get-togethers. Mm-hmm. It depends on the schools.
Okay, all right. Tell us a little bit about what you've had for some of the local segments up there for guests or topics.
Oh, I mean, it's been really interesting. One of the exciting things that we have coming up here is that we just hired a new news person, and that's going to really, I think, help in terms of the coverage that we have here in Wausau. We had actually, it was really nice. About a week and a half ago, our network news director, Shali Pittman, came up and we did some interviews, and we found a wonderful young woman who has done some work down in Illinois at the state capitol there, and really knows her way around with government officials. And obviously, as you well know, that here in Wausau, you'll never run out of interesting stories when it comes to following area government. So she'll be starting up in August, a little bit later in August. So that is something we've been talking about, that we're really going to try to we're using a poker term, double down in terms of our local coverage here in the Wausau area. So very, very excited about that.
Well, essentially it's a matter of, how should we say this? Keeping them honest, with the reduction in local news coverage around the country, one of the offshoots of that, and I'm not casting aspersions in Wausau specifically, but with fewer local reporters covering these city council meetings, school board meetings, county board meetings, things like that, there's been a little bit more, I guess, shall we say, mischief, across the country as people realize there aren't as many watchdogs out there as there used to be. And it's why, even as you see a reduction in newspapers around the area, you see, thankfully, sites like civic media springing up North News, the Wausau Pilot and Review as an independent, non-corporate owned source of covering these places. Because again, as much as we'd love for politics, local politics to just be our friends and neighbors and everything's on the up and up, you and I have seen enough from local government over the years to know that there still better be some watchdogs in the room when these things are going on.
Yes, absolutely. And frankly, the lines are getting harder to see.
Yes.
I'm going to give an example. I may regret it in a moment where we're going, but yesterday word came down that the morning host of the conservative talker here in Wausau, WSAU, is leaving. Meg Ellefson, who's been the voice of conservative politics in this area for a number of years, apparently leaving for some non-political entity. I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
But it's not going to change what is happening over there, because literally before the ink was dry on that news release, Chris Conley, a gentleman I've talked about a little bit here on this radio station over the times, he has decided that it reminds me a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you heard this, that the Colorado Rockies, who are in route to becoming the worst Major League Baseball yes. team in the history of baseball, had an opening for team president. And after a deep dive into all the people that could come in and perhaps turn around what the Rockies are, they said, well, hey, the son of the owner's here, so we're going to make him the new leader. And and I thought of that when I saw this morning that Chris decided that he's going to move into the Meg Ellefson seat and continue to bring the truth to Central Wisconsin that I'm so against, according to them.
Well, yeah, right.
I'm off to a wonderful start this morning, I must say.
Look, I don't have all the particulars in front of me, but I know that Meg Ellefson, from what I've seen online, has been unhappy with some of the directions that Republicans are taking either at the state and or the county levels in other parts of Wisconsin. We've talked about the controversy in Northeast Wisconsin about, people who have, perhaps checkered legal pasts who are in, positions, who have said things that would normally not give you a leadership position in a local political party. And yet, when anybody, conservative or Republican, dares to criticize, they are suddenly, the avalanche of trolls just rains down upon them. And don't get me wrong, I'm not shedding a tear necessarily when conservatives who have been flamethrowers themselves, have the weapon returned on them. But that doesn't necessarily make it right, especially when the thing that they're reacting to is a genuine grievance. But the MAGA folks, they don't want to hear anything of it. They're willing to, what do they always refer to it as? The leopards eating their faces party. I didn't realize a leopard would eat my face. Well, that's what leopards do.
Well, I'm going to push back on any idea that Meg is some sort of victim in this. Mm-hmm. I had a candidate for the state assembly, a Republican in the primary, who came on with me in the morning because Meg would not allow him to go on with her because she had her favorite candidate. I think that's wrong. Our motto here is our doors are open to anybody who is a candidate or somebody that is a newsmaker or somebody that's in government. The idea of picking and choosing who you're going to let the voice go out there, and then the man who's taken over this seat, Chris Conley, after getting criticism about this, he's a program director over there as well, basically said, well, Meg's number one, so we got a popular show, so whoever we want on the air, that's good enough for me. We live in this world right now that there's so many moving parts to it. I just think that each and every day we should try to hear the most voices and the most truthful voices mm-hmm. and try to get the best information in terms of having the true battle of ideas, which I think is one of the foundations of democracy.
Yeah. And that is exactly the role that somebody like you should be playing in the Wausau area. No different than what Todd Alba is doing, on his program from 2 to 4, where he had Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on yesterday. He talked to Josh Shulman, a Republican candidate for governor, when he was here in Chippewa Falls at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he's been very explicit in saying, look, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to any candidate here. You'll get a fair round of questioning and be able to make your case. I have definitely said that in terms of, primaries, especially among Democrats, to say, look, we're not going to, especially with the governor's race, we're not going to pick and choose here. We want every candidate to come on and make their case. Now, my being a former Democratic legislator, I'm not really expecting any Republican candidates to bang down my door and get on the show, but I'd be willing to talk to them and see if we can't, work out an appearance. But
it's fun. I tell you, it's fun when a Republican sits across the way. I like that.
Well, yeah, and that's again
battle ideas. I think that is exactly what we have to do, and not just on the radio, but I think within our communities to be able to listen to the other side, and to sometimes it will reinforce what we believe, and all the times it'll give us something to think about.
And you can't have things reinforced if they're not challenged now and
exactly
then. Because that it might reinforce it. It might not. It might actually get you thinking that hey, I never thought of something that way before. And, I might have an example in the coming day or two about that. I'm going to talk in the next segment for folks. A lot of folks are going to have a local breakaway for local news. Those who come back and chat with me, I'm going to talk about how AI has figured out a lot of things. AI has not yet figured out cribbage. Do you play?
I do not.
Okay, so you're poker. We're going to talk sometime down the road about AI and poker. We'll talk about AI and cribbage coming up next. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. As mentioned, the aforementioned local update coming up next for many of you across the Civic Media Radio Network, and then back here with Dan Schaefer in less than 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, we were talking about the history of WRJN, another station here at Civic Media, and its historic value to the community. And we're going to keep this talk going about great things in Racine by discussing the library. The library here in Racine is absolutely wonderful, and Don Rosen sat down with Shea King to talk about all the developments happening at the library right now.
Shea King is here. Shea is the head of business development for the Racine Public Library. Like to have you in here. It's a huge library. A lot of cities don't have their own library this big.
Yeah, we're really fortunate.
It is. You have a multi-story building that's got everything, and everything's going on. Let's talk about some of the things here. You have a couple of new people at the library.
We do.
And by the way, before I do that, Miss Wisconsin works at the library,
oh
right?
Oh my gosh. Willow is so cool.
How about that?
Right?
So I can have a book checked out from Miss Wisconsin?
That's right. You sure can. She works up at the reference desk a lot of the time.
Well, I got to go there and ask her, and I got a problem here. Yeah.
And she's so kind.
Wow.
Like, I've seen, like, patrons can come and tell her just about anything, and she will just have such a... Like, she will make you feel seen. She'll have such a kind answer for you.
What's her name again?
Willow.
Yeah, Willow. Does she give that, you know, the wave when you leave, that Miss America wave?
Only if you ask nicely.
That special wave they give. Wow, that when I read that, I said, wow, that's pretty neat. Miss Wisconsin works at the library.
We're very proud of her.
Yeah. Okay, so you got some new people at the library.
We do. So we just hired two new leadership team members. So we now have a deputy director. Her name is Lizzie Jelly, and a new business manager, Becky Crowley. So Lizzie comes to us with an extensive background of working in libraries in and around this community, including most recently more than a year as the librarian of the Racine Youthful Offenders Correctional Facility. And Becky comes to us with more than a decade of experience in finance and management in the Racine area, most recently including working as the operations manager of NAMI Racine County and the finance assistant of the now closed LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin.
Okay, so two new people. And they started?
Yep, they started. They've been with us for just about a month now, and it's been great. They both come with a background in very social justice oriented, very human-centered management, and they are just jumping right in and doing a great job supporting all of the awesome work that our team is doing.
Okay, let's talk about the postcard program. I saw this on your email that goes out.
Yeah. So,
and by the way, I do read those emails.
Thank you. Oh, that's flattering. Not everybody does.
I read them.
So the postcard project, we just wrapped up a big campaign to invite our patrons to write postcards to the federal elected officials about what the library means to them. So we received 118 postcards in, I think, just a few week period. And they were full of just such touching messages, and I can't share anything directly, but I wanted to share a little bit of what themes we captured from the postcards, because y'all got to hear this. Like, this library means so much to people. So we heard a lot about the themes of books, of course, but also fostering community resources, and free information. And these four themes were the most prominent out of everything mentioned in these postcards, and they appeared more than 25 times each. And then the library also just fulfills needs that folks might not expect. So we had multiple people who named the library as a space that helps them with their recovery. People described the library as a place for justice and equality, a space that gives them hope, a space that fosters creativity. Folks described the library as a safe place, a place that helps them save money, a place to get help with job searching, and somewhere to spend their leisure time.
You know what the library means to me?
What's that?
You can't buy DVDs anymore, but I can get them at the library.
That's right.
tough finding a DVD anywhere. You can't rent them anymore. There is one store on Rapids Drive you can rent them.
Oh, that's great.
But for the most part, you can't rent them anymore, but I can get them free at my public library.
That's right.
And if you guys don't have it, you search the earth.
Yep.
And then bring it in for me.
We have a person who does all the interlibrary loans herself. Her name is Bree, and we send her out personally. She will fly to Alaska for you.
Well,
and
I got
that book from Alaska's libraries.
I had one from Manila in the Philippines. They said, we found it.
No
there
way.
There was a library in the Philippines.
We're bringing it back.
Unfortunately, it's not in English. But you really do a good job. I mean, I see from the Beloit Library, from all over, and they find them and they bring them, and that's it.
It's really cool. Yeah.
All right. Japanese cultural exchange program going on. This is interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for 2025, the Racine Public Library is proud to receive an East Asia in Wisconsin Library Program grant from the Center of East Asian Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So this has enabled us to host a whole variety of programs themed around Japanese culture throughout the month of July. So obviously, we're getting close to the end of July, but we do have two more programs coming up. This Saturday, July 26th, 1 to 2 p.m., we have a Kodokan Judo demonstration.
Say that again.
Kodokan Judo.
Oh, you say that right. I like the way you say that. Kodokan Judo. You got the
accent. I majored in Japanese in college.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, right. Just enough to be able to pronounce a little bit. So judo is a martial art and a form of combat and an Olympic sport. And judo, which literally means gentle way, is the competitive art of subduing an opponent. So you won't see people doing karate kicks or slices for the most part. You'll see people trying to figure out how to restrain each other and pin somebody to the ground.
Well, I like the way you say that, though. You really have the accent going on there.
Thank you.
So you took Japanese and...
I did.
Most people take Spanish.
I know. So, and that would have been... Arguably, more people speak Spanish at our library than Japanese. However, a couple of my coworkers speak Japanese, so I do get to practice sometimes.
Thank you to Shay King for sitting down with Don Rosen to give us an update on everything going on in the Racine Public Library. For more information, go to racinelibrary.info. Stick around, because after the bottom of the hour news break, Civic Media's very own Dan Schaefer joins Pat to talk about everything going on in the governor's race. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app by going to the Apple or Google Play Store today. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Over the weekend in Milwaukee, 9 people were injured and 1 teen was shot dead. Police Chief Jeffrey Norman has made a statement saying that the incidents are unacceptable and that more of a police presence will be coming to Water Street. There were 2 shootings in that entertainment area over the past weekend. While homicides have gone up since this time last year, they've not yet reached the higher levels seen during the same period in 2023. Style was invited, more is showing up. A political game of sorts is taking place in Racine today as Milwaukee area Congresswoman Gwen Moore meets with people at a town hall. She'll be answering questions about the Republican tax law. A group called Opportunity Wisconsin is putting together the event at Gateway Technical College. In a statement, they claim the new law threatens health care for millions and cuts food assistance programs. They say the actual congressman for the Racine area, Brian Style, was invited to the event and that more is showing up. Also appearing at the event in Racine at 6 tonight, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. The AP reported yesterday that she plans to run for lieutenant governor next year. Congressman Style will host his own in-person listening session Thursday night. That'll be held in Elkhorn. While it was happening before January 20th, it's now happening a lot more. Savannah Tome Olson has more.
Immigration arrests have doubled in Wisconsin since President Donald Trump took office. That's according to a new analysis by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Their numbers show the average number of ICE arrests in the state jumped from 37 per month to 85 per month. They also found that the number of people with no criminal records being arrested is 5 times what it was at the end of President Joe Biden's term. That includes people who are accused of immigration violations, which are mostly civil offenses, not criminal ones.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its 4 seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We could see an isolated thunderstorm this morning and again this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today and muggy with a high of 84. Tonight, some rain after midnight, 69. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with showers and a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
We would love for you to be a subscriber to our newsletters, including our weekend one that deals with politics, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes a question of the week, which this week is about cryptocurrency and state regulations. Cryptocurrency, is it the future? Is it a fad? Is it a scam? Is it too soon to tell? What are your thoughts on that? Plus all the other political news. I think we know what the big story was in Wisconsin politics last week, and we know the big story going forward, but we keep tabs on all of it in our Sunday morning newsletter, as well as a little thing called the Recombobulation Area that Dan Schaefer puts together. You can sign up for that over at therecombobulationarea.news. Correct, Dan Schaefer?
I think I've got, you got it. That's got the it. One. That's where I've you got, can find me.
I've got it up on a screen there, and I have a space, and there should not be a space there between the and recombobulation, correct? It's all one word?
Correct. All one word.
Therecombobulationarea.news. There we go. So
what do you want to talk about today, Pat?
Yeah, you've heard this one already a few times, but I'm gonna do it again. So, Dan, who are you taking down next? do you have something about Justice Rebecca Bradley in the works by chance that you might be writing about, or no?
You know, maybe I should. Maybe I should write something. You know, I wrote something about Robin Voss last fall, and now it needs to be his last time as Assembly Speaker. That one didn't take, unfortunately. Okay. But, we'll keep at it. You know, my batting average is improving here, so we'll see.
The thing is, in both cases, you laid out very specific and credible reasons, you know, why a decision should go one way or the other. And obviously, Governor Evers made the decision that he made. He is now saying that, you know, he really didn't make up his mind until pretty close to the actual decision day. And that really just underscores something we've talked about previously here. And that is how hard it is for any politician, much less one who's won 5 statewide elections and has never lost, to say, you know, let's go out on top. Going out on top is the hardest thing to do in politics.
Absolutely. I think it is a really bold and in many ways selfless decision that the governor has made here not to seek a third term. And I think it is, you're right. It's really it's tough for people to step away, especially somebody like Evers, who is popular in the state. It's not a Biden comparison here, not only because the Evers is about a decade younger than Joe Biden, but because he is popular and Joe Biden was not. And I think, to be somebody who has won 5 statewide elections, he's undefeated in statewide elections. That's a pretty remarkable thing in a state as closely divided as Wisconsin. But I think, it's time to pass the torch. I think running for a third term is a different ask of voters than it is asking just for re-election. And I think for so many reasons, the time is right now. I think 2026 is shaping up for an advantageous year for Democrats. I think there is a strong bench of candidates. We can talk about a couple who have already announced. And I think, there is real risk involved with running for re-election in your mid-70s and you know, being governor through your late 70s. And I think that Evers is making the right decision, as he so often has as governor. He is making the right decision and doing what's best for the state. He always talks about doing what's right for Wisconsin. And I absolutely believe that that is what he's doing here in not seeking re-election.
Yeah, and look, there isn't a fair comparison to former President Joe Biden, except in that one way, and that is all Evers has to do is stumble one time, you know, figuratively or literally, and we get to spend the next, you know, 13, 14 months with that as a topic. So it's not fair to the governor, but it does take that off the table, where we now just talk about who's next. So let's talk about who's next, because the article that I'm going to put up on our website later this morning, upnorthnewswi.com, I'm putting the finishing touches on it, and I'm up to 19 names listed in this thing right now. Some of them admittedly long shots, and I'm looking for one more to see if I can make it around 20, so I'm going to ask you as well to give me a potentially surprising name of somebody who might be thinking about running for governor. But let's start at the very top from a Democratic standpoint, and that would be the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who will be joining the show here Friday morning in our 8 a.m. hour, being first out of the gate. And again, I just said in a previous segment here, we're not going to do an endorsement here. We're going to have every candidate on from all these races, third congressional district, legislative races, everybody come on and make your case. So this is not an endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. But that introductory video is definitely one of the best I've ever seen.
It was a really strong video. It told her personal story, talked about her background, talked about her family, talked about her career. She has had, you know, before getting into politics, her career was largely in the healthcare field. She was a nurse for a time, and it was funny and it was engaging. I think it was a really, really strong, you know, first out of the gate introductory video that was, I guess, maybe posted a little bit early before Tony Evers made that announcement, which I do find amusing, because it does seem like the governor's office pushed this announcement to react to some media coverage that was beginning to ramp up in the week prior to the announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it really was, for folks that haven't seen it, it's a classic example of what's called the walk and talk video. And she's just talking, you know, directly to camera about her career and what would make her a good governor in her view. Then there's the half announcement. I always say there's one and a half Democrats in, because Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley announced that he was going to announce and is holding. Yes. And people always go, well, what are you in or are you out? Because it does trigger something when you fill out a certain piece of paper with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You know, now you can start fundraising, but you can't start fundraising without signing that particular piece of paper. So that's kind of the background behind the scenes. But David Crawley wouldn't have put out the statement that he did if he wasn't thinking very seriously, yeah, I'm in here too.
Yeah, no surprise whatsoever to me. Crawley is somebody whose career I've covered pretty closely, being here in the city of Milwaukee. You know, I actually endorsed Crawley for county executive at the recombobulation area in the spring of 2020. I endorsed him over Chris Larson and then county board chair Theo Lipscomb. I think he is an absolute rising star in the party. He actually first told me in an interview at the recombobulation area in December 2023 that if Evers were not going to run again, that he would be interested in running for governor. He has experience as a state assembly representative, so he knows Madison. He's also run the largest county in the state as the Milwaukee County Executive for the past 5 years now. And I think he's done a lot of really good, smart, under the radar things in Milwaukee County that has really cleaned up the county in a lot of ways and positioned it well to go into the future. My question with David Crawley and his candidacy is, how well known is he outside of the Milwaukee market? Because I think when I ask people about this list of candidates in and around Milwaukee, and I mentioned Crawley, they're like, oh, he's a great candidate, young guy, rising star, doing great things at the county. When I mention Crawley's name outside of Milwaukee, it's a little bit more David who? So I think the name ID challenge for him, you know, outside of the Milwaukee market, you know, reaching voters in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, reaching voters in Western Wisconsin, the Northwoods, whatever it might be. But, you know, I actually did a live podcast with him a couple of years ago as well. And before he came up on stage to do the interview with me, he stopped at every single table in that coffee house to introduce himself personally to every single person. So his retail politics are like an A plus level. So I'm really interested to see, you know, as he gets out there and as he starts campaigning, how people are going to respond to him and his message.
Let's set aside Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski for a sec, just because she has indicated she's not interested in running for governor, but may declare for lieutenant governor. So let's move to State Attorney General Josh Call, who often rises to the top of lists. And I don't know how much of that is because of Josh Call, or how much of it is the Jim Doyle path that we've seen a state attorney general rise to become governor previously. But regardless, you know, his name is going to continue coming up until he takes it off.
Well, you win two statewide races in Wisconsin, your name gets to be on the list for, yes, for the next opening for a statewide race. And I think, you know, I do think it's even possible that if Josh Call gets into the race, which I absolutely expect him to do, that he would start it at probably as the front runner. I don't know if it would be like an overwhelming front runner necessarily, but I do think, you know, you win two statewide races. He's been doing the job of the attorney general, so people see him, has a probably a little bit more name recognition than many of the other candidates on the list here. But again, I don't think he'd be the overwhelming favorite. I think he'd be, you know, but I do think he brings a lot to the table. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this race not too long ago, and, you know, Tony Evers won by kind of being a pretty boring candidate. And I think he even said it in 2022 after he was reelected, saying, hey, boring wins. Maybe that's a path for Josh Call to a certain extent, too, because he's not exactly a super flashy attorney general trying to grab every headline he possibly can. He's more in the background doing the work type of guy. So I do think, you know, there will be voters who respond to that, too. And in this time of like chaos and Trump and whatever, having calm, sane, competent leadership is, I think, what people liked out of Tony Evers, and that could be a path for Josh Call as well.
A name that has come up the past couple of days here has been Missy Hughes, the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and she considered a run for 3rd District Congress in 2022. But in much the same way David Crawley is not well-known outside of Milwaukee, I don't know that Missy Hughes is well-known outside of certain business and political circles, and so she, too, will have to, first off, if she decides to, get in early and do a lot to build up her name ID, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, her name does keep coming up in these potential candidate lists and all of that. And because the list as of late has, or in the early going here, has leaned pretty heavily into Madison and Milwaukee area politicians, I think it's good to have somebody from outside the two major cities in the state running for this. But again, yeah, it would be a real challenge for her name ID wise. But I'm very interested to see what she does next, because the WEDC has undergone a pretty big transformation. You know, I was a business news reporter in much of the 2010s, covering a lot of what Scott Walker's administration was doing. Things I covered projects like Foxconn when I was at the Milwaukee Business Journal. We all know how that one went. And I think the WEDC, like post-COVID, had this really big focus on small business and bringing small businesses back after the pandemic. And so there is a record to run on there. But, you know, again, the name ID question would be a challenging one.
I don't want to give short shrift to the others, but we want to make mention of others' names in the mix. State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, former State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, even Dane County Executive Melissa Agard or State Senator Brad Paff could all be in the mix as well. The Republican field, we know about Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, businessman Bill Berrien. There's been all this talk about Congressman Tom Tiffany or State Senate President Mary Felskowski. Other names out there include former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. And here's my one surprise, it was surprising to me, was that people are trying to recruit former Congressman and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to make a run. I got less than a minute before the break here for you to tell me, do you have any names I haven't mentioned that could theoretically be a surprise candidate on that list?
I don't have any beyond what you said there. I had one really funny reply in my Twitter mentions when I was talking about candidates. Somebody said David Gruber should run for governor. One call, that's all. For governor.
Oh, gosh, could you see that? Then, of course, Russell Nicolay. What a primary that would be. You know,
the personal injury attorney primary.
Oh, my goodness, yes. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And again, therecombobulationarea.news is how you can sign up for the newsletter. A local update is next for some of you. And if so, I will see you tomorrow morning at 6. For the rest of you, some final news and notes here from Lake Wissota. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You need parts? O'Reilly has parts. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select pads for just $10. Or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message. Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. This is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. With the announcement of Governor Tony Evers not seeking a third term, that means the official season for running for governor in Wisconsin is open, and with a few people from the Republican side already announcing their candidacy, the Democrats are now going to see more individuals putting their hats into the ring. This huge announcement comes just 1 month after the installation of Devin Remiker as the new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He talked to us about what you can do if you feel like a blue dot in a large red ocean.
thank you for your time, Devin. I'm sure you have several other things you need to get to. But I wanted to talk a little bit in the time that we have. And we hear from listeners around the state who live in very red counties. Wisconsin has 72 counties. What do I do if I'm a blue dot swimming in a sea of red? Is there, who do I reach out to if I would like to get to talk to someone in the Democratic Party? Because we're in, the Democrats are in all 72 counties, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, there's Democrats everywhere. and I would really encourage folks to first reach out to their county party. And if you're having difficulty reaching them, you know, some people are on different wavelengths when it comes to responsiveness through different means. You can also reach out to your congressional district chair. We also have those in every single congressional district in the state. And they can help provide a little nudge, you know, in case that email inbox wasn't checked recently or something like that. You can also get involved with the neighborhood team if you go to mobilize.us/WISDEMS, WISDEMS. You can find organizing events near you. We have over 270 neighborhood teams across the state, in addition to our county parties, that are organized locally to help take action and communicate on the issues that voters care about. I will just say on sort of an editorial note as well, it can feel lonely being in a red area. You can feel totally surrounded. Heck, even in places that are purple, it sometimes feels like Republicans are on surround sound. You know, it's on social media. We have the sort of right-wing media ecosystem that we talked about earlier. You know, there's signs, there's hats, you know, it feels like you're outnumbered. Oftentimes, I think that there are more Democrats than folks may realize around them. You know, if a county is voting 70% Republican, that still means 30% of that is Democratic, right? And trying to build community, you know, reaching out to your neighbors and you know, making that dot a little bit brighter blue is incredibly important work. And I think that sometimes I had this own experience where I live outside of Reedsburg, Wisconsin, township of Excelsior, to be specific, and we put out a Susan Crawford yard sign recently in the Supreme Court election. And one of our neighbors stopped my wife as she was walking our dogs and said, "Hey, it's brave of you to do that. Just so you know, I'm a Democrat. And so is that person three doors down. So is that person." And before we knew it, we had like kind of power mapped the neighborhood a little bit. And I think that, you know, reaching out to folks and just like we did after that, of having conversations and trying to plug them in and get them involved and put the sign out the next time, can help show people that Democrats are everywhere and you have nothing to be afraid of because you are on the right side of history fighting for people.
That's so important, though, Devin, that folks realize that you are not completely alone. It might feel that way, but there are quiet Democrats. I think there are quieter Democrats than there are Republicans in some of these 72 counties. And as you said, a good starting point, just look for the Democratic Party of your county. Start there or find some other group. When I drive around, I was running for groceries yesterday, and there are little groups I see in Wauwatosa, Protect Democracy. You know, it's just little groups like that. Maybe that's something that would interest you. Mm-hmm. So you don't feel so hopeless and helpless.
Exactly. And, you know, while you're on Mobilize, there's not just events from the Democratic Party available there. There are events from groups of all sorts and stripes. Get involved. And, you know, part of the 72 county strategy that I talked about is also figuring out ways that we can partner with those groups to talk about the issues that people care most about and reach out to folks ahead of the upcoming election. And I think that there are so many people that are getting involved. You know, during the chair campaign, we were doing a lot of county party visits, congressional district committee visits. And at almost every single county party, without fail, there would be someone that walked into the door, had never been involved before, and asked how they could sign up to be a member. I was in Washera County in, I believe, April, and I had that exact experience, which, you know, is a county that historically has been quite red, yep. Very rural. And there in Wild Rose, they have an office year-round right on the main drag. And having that presence so that folks knew when they finally had enough, when they were fed up and ready to do something, they knew exactly where to go. That's the ticket. And we want to make sure that county parties have the infrastructure and the ability to do that year round statewide.
The mobilize.us/wisdems will be in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, folks, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Aaron there, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, I just really quick before we get out of here, I just want to share. Share a story. We were up in, we did a tour this past week or 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Time's a construct. And we were in Hayward, and a gentleman who, by all accounts, we would always assume looked like a guy who didn't agree with anything we said, period. Just didn't look like it at all. And he came up to us, said, "My name is Steve. I'm a big fan." Gave us a small thumbs up. He goes, "You're doing a good job." And then he walked away. And I think that's important for us to know that, to what we're doing as civic media, that he doesn't feel alone and he hopefully has friends he can talk to and share and build that energy that you're talking about, moving, I don't even want to say, I mean, I'm sure you want to say more left, but like to the right side of history, to a better, fairer Wisconsin for all people. And I will never forget Steve from Hayward for the rest of my life. It was a wonderful thing to see.
Devin Remicker is the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. If you would like to get involved, as Greg said, we will include all the links in our show notes. All you have to do is go to civicmedia.us. Take heart. You are not alone. Right, Devin?
Absolutely. We are going to build community. We are going to win back the trust of voters, and we're going to win big in 2026.
I'd like to thank Devin Remicker for stopping by to have a great discussion with Jane and I. That's actually a two-part interview, and you can hear the entire thing by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air, and you can download that episode directly to your device and listen to it anytime you'd like, anywhere you want. Again, go to civicmedia.us/shows for more information. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Tuesday. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Mayor Eric Adams tells CBS News the suspect in last night's deadly shooting at a New York City office tower was targeting the National Football League.
He appeared to have blamed the NFL for his injury. The NFL headquarters is located in the building at 345 Park Avenue.
Adams says the suspect took the wrong elevator bank. Four people were killed, including a police officer and a mother of two who was a senior managing director at the financial firm Blackstone. The mayor says the gunman killed himself.
We have strong gun laws here, but many of our neighboring states have lax gun laws. This person appears to have had a sealed permit, even with his mental health challenge.
Former Deputy NYPD Commissioner Richard Esposito.
The most difficult people to stop are lone actors like this. You don't know they're coming.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.